Good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. My name is Catherine Davis, and today we have a very, very special program for you. We are going to be speaking with a number of presenters, organizers of a very interesting global event called 11 Days of Global Unity, 11 Ways to Change the World. And also woven into this global celebration is the UN International Day of Peace, which is on September 21st. And we're also going to be talking about a global 11 Days of Global Unity Telesummit 2016. And to start off this conversation, I would like to welcome and introduce Rick Ulfick, who is the founder of We the World and We Campaign at We.net, a global platform to unite and amplify the efforts of people, organizations, and movements working for the common good. Rick is the co-creator of the annual 11 Days of Global Unity, 11 Ways to Change the World, from September 11th to September 21st, which is, as I said, the UN International Day of Peace. And this is all linking local awareness and action campaigns into an inspiring international movement with participants including Desmond Tutu, Jane Goodall, Deepak Chopra, Eve Ensler, Daniel Ellsberg, Bill McKibben, Amy Goodman, and many others. So before I go on, I want to say hello, Rick Ulfick, and welcome back to Heart of Mind Radio.
Hello, Catherine. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you, as always.
Well, I'm glad to say I feel the same. I think it would be really interesting because we always have new listeners, and we haven't really spoken of this since last year this time, to remind people of what your inspiration has been to give your dedication to this effort for so many years, what inspired it, and what keeps you going.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Well, I founded We the World back in 1998, and basically We the World, and people can find out about We the World, by the way, by going to we.net, one of the easiest web addresses to remember, the network of We. So We the World is a global coalition-building nonprofit organization. We're based in New York City, and we have people and partners all around the world that are working with us. Our mission is to maximize social change globally until we have a world that works for all. So in order to maximize social change, every year we literally connect and promote thousands of socially conscious organizations and businesses to amplify their efforts and generate public awareness and action. And you mentioned some of our supporters. I'll mention them again. Desmond Tutu, Jane Goodall, Deepak Chopra, Bill McKibben, Tavis Smiley, Daniel Ellsberg, Patch Adams, and many others. And I guess our biggest project is the one that you started mentioning, 11 Days of Global Unity. Back in 2004, We the World and our global partners launched 11 Days of Global Unity. And it's since then, it's become a worldwide platform for the promotion of peace, justice, sustainability, and transformation that annually includes as many as 700 associated events in over 60 countries around the world. And, of course, we're working closely and in support of the UN International Day of Peace, which is celebrated on September 21st. So a little bit later, I'll give some specific special events that are taking place as part of 11 Days. But I do want to now mention the 11 Days TELUS Summit. You mentioned that as well. And that's something we're partnering with the SHIFT Network. And basically on each of the 11 days, September 11th through the 21st, there's going to be a powerful dialogue on each of the days at 1 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to be talking with Jane Goodall about the environment, Tavis Smiley about his work on economic justice, someone named Audrey Scott Williams on the subject of freedom, particularly excited about her dialogue because she's working to end modern-day slavery, which includes human trafficking, and also modern-day debtors' prisons. I just heard a story this morning, actually, about poor people in Sherwood, Arkansas, being put in jail because they bounced checks of very small amounts. A woman bounced a $29 check, and she served 35 days in jail and had to pay $300 in court fees. Audrey Scott Williams is working on this, about mass incarceration, and we'll be talking about it with her during the 11 Days Summit. Another person is William Hartung, and he will be speaking about Lockheed Martin and the military-industrial complex. So this summit is very powerful, and so I hope that people will be registering for it. It's totally free, and if you go to we.net, you can register for the summer for the summit. And later on the show, we will hear from one of the featured speakers of the summit, Jumana Risk, who will be speaking on the subject of women for the summit. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's it for now. Thanks.
Well, that's good because we're going to be welcoming Jumana Risk right now. And she is a life coach and former theater director, is the founder of Peace Lights at peacelights.org. She is the creator for the Connect for Peace street performances and Remapping Relationships coaching. Jumana is dedicated to bringing awareness to the ways of the feminine in leadership and peacemaking. Meeting Amma has had a profound impact on her life and work, and she's going to be part of this TELUS Summit, and she'll be speaking September 17th on the 11 Days theme of women and also discussing her work with Amma. I want to say hello and welcome, Jumana, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Hello. Thank you for having me there, Catherine and Rick. It's a pleasure and an honor to be participating in this radio show today.
Well, I'm so happy to hear you speak on the subject of women. Can you give us a little bit of what has inspired you in this direction, and then we can move into the actual talk that you're going to be presenting on the 17th?
Yes, sure. Well, what happened for myself, for my personal journey, I tried to improve myself in so many ways through the years, until I discovered that I was trying to make myself into a masculine person rather than a feminine person. And that was quite a life changer for me, because I thought, for the first time, I thought to myself, oh, perhaps improving myself is just being more of who I am and being more free to be who I am, as opposed to trying to make myself into something I'm not. And I don't think this is an individual experience for me. I think it's very much a collective experience, as through the millenniums, we have lost and devalued the ways of the feminine. And I believe that, you know, our century, this 21st century, and this started in the 20th century, is a time where feminine as a way of life is being rediscovered and revalued. So, and by feminine, I mean the way that the feminine thrives, which is relational rather than achievement-oriented. And that's what my talk for the 11 days the 11 days will be. And it will be focusing on a woman who has worked from her feminine to achieve extraordinary feats of philanthropy and help for the poor, and she's doing this completely from her feminine side, almost, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So can you let our listeners know, who might not be familiar with Amma, who she is and what some of her accomplishments have been?
Absolutely. So Amma is a spiritual teacher and a philanthropist from India. Her full name is Mata Amritanandamayi Devi. She's affectionately known as Amma, which means mother. And she's really one of the world's foremost spiritual leaders and philanthropists. Her organizations have done phenomenal work. There's vocational training for 100,000 women, microcredit loans for more than 60,000 families, life enrichment education and literacy for thousands of poor and illiterate women, and humanitarian work of a huge scope around the tsunami relief, disaster relief, reforestation, suicide of farmers. I mean, the scope of her works is enormous. And what is really extraordinary about how she has done this is she does this by hugging people.
This is what she's most known for. I don't think many people realize how much philanthropic work is being done as a result.
Yes, yes. A lot of people know her as the hugging saint. Thousands around the world line up to get a hug, a motherly hug from her. And she will sit for hours. I've seen her sit for 27 hours uninterrupted hugging the thousands who come see her. So this is how she started, you know, and it was a spontaneous expression of her love for humanity, for everyone, really, hugging and consoling and mothering, loving every person who came to see her. And out of this, people would come and tell her, you know, Amma, there's an orphanage where the kids are not taken care of. And she'd say, well, Amma will adopt this orphanage. Or, Amma, the farmers are committing suicide. They're being driven to suicide by the major agricultural companies that are selling, you know, engineered grains. And she would say, well, let's start an initiative for the farmer suicide. Or, Amma, you know, this village is really prey to alcoholism, and even though it has support from the international community and the Indian government, people are not using the support because they're too depressed in their addictions. And she'd say, well, let's start a comprehensive relief program there. So out of her love and mothering and the simple repetitive gesture of hugging, tremendous philanthropic organization and charitable organizations have grown and grow daily. People are inspired. People give time. They give attention. They give money. They give volunteer few years of their lives, some give their entire lives, to help, to make a difference in the world, just from inspired by her example and her love.
Mm. Well, that is really very inspiring. And I'm wondering if you could also speak to this idea of being active in the world, because I think that this is something that's really quite unique for a spiritual teacher to do more than talk, but actually walk the walk and engage in uplifting people.
Yes. Anna says that her religion is to love and serve, and the love of God is through the service of people. For me, meeting Anna just made me realize for sure there's something more that I can do than what I'm doing, you know, and it was a wake-up call, you know, thinking that there's something that each of us can do beyond what our daily life or what we think is possible. And that's really the message of this call on women, is a call to action for every single one of us, women or men, to give more, to do more, to do just a little something extra, to get beyond what you think is possible and give. And when you do that from what's natural for you, and that's really our work at Peace Lights, is about finding the natural, innocent expression in each one of us, then it's fun and it's enlivening and it's you find sources of energy that you didn't know you had in you. That's really, I think, the secret here for each one of us is what's natural, what do you love giving and doing, and how can you do more of that? I'm not sure I answered your question, did I?
Well, yeah, I think you did. I think you did, because the reason I wanted to emphasize that is very often I speak with people who are engaging in spiritual life, but it's from sometimes it can have a very selfish face. And people feel like all I have to do is worry about myself and that will change the world. And I really appreciate when the spiritual message is one of openness and compassion and inclusive, to recognize that there's work to be done and that we have a capacity to do that work. So I really thank you for that. And I would like to introduce our next guest, Sandy Hart. And she is the lead of the Charter for Compassion International's Women and Girls Sector and Chief Compassion Officer of Compassionate California. And she is president of the Women's Interfaith Organization, SARA, Spiritual and Religious Alliance for Hope. And she has an activity coming up, the Charter for Compassion. And she's going to be participating in a women and girls program in the 11 days on the theme women. So I want to say hello and welcome, Sandy, to our program today.
Good morning. It's an honor to be with you. And thank you, Jumana, for your touching and inspiring message.
Yes, it was very beautiful. And you are also working in this same line with this, it seems like a comparable inspiration. Can you tell us about what it is you're doing and what is really the Compassionate California?
Well, Compassionate California is a part of the Charter for Compassion initiative. And if I may, I'll tell you just a little bit about that to sort of set a better understanding. Thank you, to frame really everything I'm doing. In 2008, the comparative religion scholar Karen Armstrong accepted the first annual TED Prize, $100,000 TED Prize, for sharing her wish to see the creation of a Charter for Compassion focused on restoring the Golden Rule to the center of human morality. And these four impeccable paragraphs called the Charter for Compassion have launched a movement that really is unprecedented. The Charter has gone on to inspire Cities of Compassion Initiative, where local stakeholders and local governments together commit to the Charter. and they plan to make compassion a force for healing in their community. And they're finding compassion is the new narrative currently in 700 cities, in 50 countries, and about 1,500 partners organized in 11 sectors of society, reaching nearly about a billion people. The partners are organized in 11 sectors, like I said, and such as healthcare, business, arts and culture, religion and spirituality, science and research, restorative justice, social justice, and now women and girls, which has been an absolute joy and privilege and delight to be a part of. Because, like Jumana said, something very powerful and primordial and intuitive happens when women come together in the spirit of collaboration and healing. It's in our biological innate imperative. So it comes naturally when there is a space to open our arms wide enough for one another's wisdom, creativity, grace, and sisterhood. And actually, that's what I was imagining when Jumana was talking about Amma opening up her arms for hugs. And that is what we are figuratively doing. And that's what the Charter for Compassion leadership does for us. They provide this safe space, the sacred space for us to be encircled together, to find new solutions to old problems, like women have been doing since the beginning of time. We've just forgotten in the last couple hundred years, maybe few hundred years. It's also allowing the space for what wants to be revealed that we cannot yet know, because we know we're onto something new here. We know that something new has to break free because old systems aren't working anymore. And it's happening in an existing and thriving network of the millions of people, nearly the 1 billion people who are realizing, remembering that compassion is the clear luminous force to start the healing of our world's problems. But I'd like to be really clear. That this requires also our male counterparts. This is not just for and by women. It's for women and girls, but we need to work in balance partnership with men and boys so that women can thrive in a global society. And I'd also like to say that there's something of a great power being part of a global matrix, because there's so much work to be done, like you said earlier, and it doesn't seem to be so daunting when you can look around and see your partners in compassion. The 1,500 partners of compassion, that is. And now you have direct contact. Now you're directly connected with people to work in collective impact and get your work done. And it's up to women to stand in their feminine authority now and claim that balance. I've had a chance to look at Jumana's Peace Lights website, which is so beautiful. And I'd like to think we all just need to step into our peace light, if you will.
That's beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit about what's in the Charter for Compassion? If it's not too long, maybe you can share one or two of the tenets of that.
Sure. The my favorite passage of the Charter, actually, it's hard to pick your favorite child, isn't it, out of the four paragraphs, but compassion impels us to work tirelessly to alleviate the suffering of our fellow creatures, to dethrone ourselves from the center of our world, and to put another there, and to honor the inviolable sanctity of every single human being, treating everybody without exception with absolute justice, equity, and respect. And you can see the whole charter at charterforcompassion.org. And sign it. Please sign it. Be a part of the million signatories.
And how is this folding into the 11 days of global unity?
Oh, thank you. So the Compassion Games is a very close partner of the Charter for Compassion. Actually, it came out of this original seed of compassion that launched both initiatives. But two different organizations, but the Compassion Games, which I know you're going to hear about from my sister Bree, who's going to be talking next, I believe, will commence during the 11 Days of Global Unity, also a global co-opetition. And we are inspiring all of our charter network to dial in to register for the calls, but specifically the women and girls are inspired to listen in on September 17th to hear Jumana and the other speakers speak about on the topic of women. And then we're asking them, in the spirit of co-opetition, to return to the Compassion Games map and report map, where you report your reflections of your compassionate action. And in our case, we're asking them to use the compassion map to post their inspiration and also a commitment to do one act of compassion in the world. And that is how we are participating, particularly with the 11 days of global unity and the summit. We're also encouraging all of our members to, of course, go to the other days of the call as well. This will also serve as a bridge to our next series of global calls, which the women's and girls sector is sponsoring, and we're partnering with the Parliament of the World's Religions in honor of their one-year anniversary of their inaugural assembly that happened at the last Parliament in Salt Lake City, and that will happen on October 14th. But we are definitely excited about the summit and participating by sending all of our members to listen in.
Oh, that's really beautiful. And I want to remind people again that the website is charterforcompassion.org. And anyone who is interested in following this path should go there and see what's there for you. I really appreciate what you shared so far, Sandy. Thank you.
And also, this is Rick again. Yes. I just wanted to say thank you also, Sandy, because you helped to bring the Compassion Games to 11 Days of Global Unity, which was a very powerful concept to unite the two activities. And in fact, the Compassion Games this year are being called the Global Unity Games, September 11th through the 21st.
Thank you, Rick. That's so kind of you to point out. But it really is in the spirit of collaboration and cooperation, which is really necessary in our world today, isn't it? And it didn't make sense to not lock arms with what you're doing with your beautiful program and honor it by participating in this way as the Compassion Games. So thank you. Thank you for all you've done and continue to do.
Oh, and you too. Thank you.
And I, with much thanks to all of us and to all of our guests today, I want to introduce our next guest joining us, and it's Brianna LaThorpe, and she is a returning Peace Corps volunteer, writer, producer, educator, and creator of new fairy tales and fables from the United Arab Emirates. And she is going to be participating in the Compassion Games this year. And she, hopefully you'll be able to speak a little bit more about that. Welcome, Brianna.
Thank you so much. I'm really honored to be here with the stellar panel.
Yes, it's a beautiful experience for me. So I would love to find out from you a little bit more about yourself. You are... have been working with the Peace Corps, and I guess you'll be have this really for me shows that you have a deep commitment to peace because you're really taking your life into that work. So explain a bit about your commitment to peace and how that has guided you into participating in the Compassion Games.
Well, it's interesting that this is the 15th anniversary of 9/11 because that was actually the year that my service began in Morocco as a Peace Corps volunteer. In fact, I was in Rabat on the day of 9/11. So I was able to experience that from afar in a foreign country, in an Arab country, in a Muslim country, and I was able to witness the compassion and the caring from my colleagues and peers and just strangers on the street who would past and just wish blessings on America during that devastating time. As a result, I've actually continued to stay and work in the region since that time, and I've been in the United Arab Emirates for the last 7.5 years. So when I found out about the Compassion Games when I was home in Seattle on a summer holiday, I was so impressed with the work that the organization is doing. Dubai had already signed up as a compassionate city. And so bringing the Compassion Games or introducing the Games to the UAE, it was such a natural fit. The humanitarian footprint of the country is absolutely extraordinary. They've given foreign aid to over 178 countries around the world. The founding father of Sheikh Zayed and his vision for the country and giving is just such an integral part of the DNA and the makeup of Emiratis and the country as a whole. When the country was founded back in 1971, one of the first decrees was to form a development fund. And with that, and with the revenues from the country that were just coming in, they began giving to people that were less fortunate because the country's commitment, they truly believe that because I think that the fabric of, there's a motto, to whom much is given, much is expected. And the UAE lives that model daily. Introducing or amplifying the work that's already being done here, and really bringing that to a global stage. I mean, the country is already in doing work globally, but I think a lot of the work that it's done is done so quietly.
And this is really significant for me because I think here in the United States, we get such a distorted picture of what life is like in the countries of the East, Middle East, as it's called, and of the Muslim faith in general. So I think that it's really important for people to be able to have this kind of exposure to understand that we're all human beings, no matter where we are, no matter what the faith. And as you describe it, in the United Arab Emirates, they are really expressing this capacity to give and to help and to care to a far greater extent than I've witnessed here in the United States. So I think that that's a good lesson for all of us. Can you also give our listeners a better understanding of what the Compassion Games are? Because they might not, is this like a football game on the field? Exactly how does it work?
That's a great question. And even here, as I've pitched the game to various partners, and the question was, why the games? So the games are, it's not an athletic event, but it was explained to me that they use the term the games as a way of a culture hack. As a way of actually amplifying the fact that this games and sporting events are about competition. It's about a winner, and if there's a winner, there's always a loser. However, the Compassion Games, which we'll be participating in the Global Unity Games on September 11th through the 21st, are actually a co-opetition where instead of us, there's a winner, there's a loser, we're all pushing each other to be better. You know, so I'm challenging you to be your best, and you're challenging me to be my best. And with us doing that through service, through service projects, through volunteerism, we random acts of kindness or daily acts of kindness, conscious acts of kindness, we will make a difference in the planet around us. And so the games are 11 days of service, of making your community better, safer, exactly where you are and whichever capacity that you're able to do so.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, and it really helps us, I think, because anybody can really choose to do this in any fashion, because everyone is choosing for themselves what their acts of compassion and kindness will be. Isn't that the case? People are creating
absolutely.
Their own...
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but yeah, absolutely. It's, we're going... when the games begin, it'll be the beginning of a holiday. This is the beginning of the school year for us. So we're really targeting schools, and we focused on very low-key generated tasks that even if people are traveling on holiday, they can still participate. You know, anyone can write a gratitude gram, you know, or thank a mentor, or, you know, read a book to a child, or go online. And we have several campaigns that are taking place here in the UAE. The Joy of Aid, which is sponsored by Yas Island, and where you donate a smile. If you donate a smile on social media, they'll donate a bit to building a school in Mauritania and another school in Pakistan. You can do that from anywhere in the world.
Excellent.
You know, it's
That's
just so simple.
Beautiful.
There's so many simple, easy things that individuals can do. I read about an individual in the U.S., I don't remember the city, and I apologize, but he just saw a homeless man on the street, and he stopped and asked, would you like to send someone a message for the holidays? So he videotaped the individual, found out his name, and then he went home, went online, and did a little bit of research on Facebook and found a family member, and he connected that person with family members. So there's so many things that we can do that will make such a big difference in others' lives, and it doesn't cost a lot.
So wonderful. This is all very inspiring for me, and you're right. I want to invite all of you. We have a few more moments to go, and I wanted to make sure that everyone had a chance to, you know, give a final comment or feedback. So why don't we go through our round of discussions in the same order again. Rick, what would you like to make sure people are aware of before we run out of time?
Yes, one of the things I just wanted to add to what you were just saying, Bree, about the compassion games, the actual tallies of what people are doing are written up, and that's part of the games, as I understand it. In other words,
yes.
If people engage in community service in some way, the number of hours that they engage in that then becomes part of what's registered in the games. Or if they raise funds for an organization, a nonprofit organization or something like that, that becomes part of the tally. Or if they add to the number of volunteers who are working on a project, I think that's part of how the games are registered.
Absolutely. Thank you for adding that.
Okay,
yeah.
Excellent.
So in a sense, there is a comparison, but it's a co-opetition, and sometimes people in different cities, as I understand it, help each other to get more points. So it's kind of funny. You know, like somebody in one city will call somebody else in another city to let them know that they can participate in that other city. So that gives that other city more points, but that's why it's a co-opetition instead of a competition.
All right. I love the concept. I think the world would work so much better if all corporations did that. So I want to go back and see if you wanted to add something else. Jumana, maybe you have... you want to connect to what you've heard from our other guests?
Yes. I'm so inspired by the Compassion Games and the Charter of Compassion. And Sandy, thank you for the work that you do. And I want to sign up. I'm going to go and sign up. And Bree, too, that's amazing you're doing this work in the United Arab Emirates. I'm originally from Lebanon, and I go back regularly to do work there. And there's such a movement in that part of the world for peace and unity. We don't hear about it in the States, but it's very, very active, and I think contributing there is so key, so important. And also, I would like to mention an event we are doing in New York City, Peace Lights is doing in New York City on Tuesday, September 20th, on the eve of the International Day of Peace. For our listeners who are in New York, we would just love to have you join us. It's going to be in Union Square South on 14th Street from 4:30 to 7:30. And this event is really fun. Rick Alfick is going to be there. There's a singer-songwriter, Jess Domain, who's a beautiful person who's going to be singing, a composer and DJ, Peter Lobo, and a group of like-minded people. We go out there in this public space of Union Square. We go with music and a bunch of bungee cords, and we invite strangers to connect to each other in the name of peace. And the way we connect to each other is by tying bungee cords around our waist and to another three or four people around us. And what happens is that there's this physicalized experience of how we are all one and we are all connected to everyone and everything in the universe. It's a very moving experiential event, and one can participate or watch. Either way, there is a really, it's a powerful connection. So for those of our listeners who are in New York City, if you would like to volunteer or even staff the event, I would love to be contacted at info@peacelights.org. That's peace, peacelights.org. Or just come and join us. You come and join us in Union Square 4:30 to 7:30 on September 20th.
Excellent. That sounds like a lot of fun. Sandy, did you want to come back with a comment or interaction with our other guests?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, everybody. It's been an honor to be in the circle with you and have this time with you. I'm so inspired. I'm deeply moved. Thank you. Yes, I not only would like to respond, I'd like to challenge everybody to sign up to play in the Compassion Games. And I might challenge you further to sign up under Team CCI. That's Charter for Compassion International, because we are a team and we are in it to win it. So and by the way, nobody loses the games. Love wins. But we're still in it to win it. And we would hope everybody listening also would sign up to participate. When you sign up, especially sort of this late in the game, because the games are coming up starting September 11th, you're automatically enrolled to be a secret agent of compassion, which, should you choose to accept it, will mean you will get an email every day with a secret mission to go out and be more compassionate in your community. Then you come back to the Compassion Report Map, sign in as Team CCI, of course, so your points will float up to our team. Prove that we are the most compassionate in the world until proven otherwise, and all in good fun, of course, and mm-hmm. And join us. And definitely, I hope everybody will listen in on not only September 17th, but all the days of 11 Days of Global Unity, and join us at charterforcompassion.org. Sign the charter, see who signed the charter, and look around the site. It is a repository for all things compassion, including science and research and all the good work happening all around the world. And if it suits you, join us as a partner. And thank you so much for this time. It's been a real honor again to be on this call.
Thank you. And Bree, would you like to come back and offer a bit of interaction with our company of Circle, this guest lineup?
Thank you so much, and it really has been an honor. And one of the comments, I think, was, thanking me for the work that I'm doing. In honesty, the country is doing the work. My goal, particularly as an American, and seeing how polarized things are globally, it's just to highlight a lot of the positivity that's already taken place. Living in a Muslim country where their foreign policy is based upon two principles, which is, one, the Islamic belief that helping those in need is their primary duty, and the second, that part of the country's wealth, which the majority, a great deal, comes from oil and gas, should be devoted to helping people that are less fortunate, countries that are less fortunate. And I've been really privileged to live here and witness that level of compassion and action daily. So it's an honor for me to be able to highlight all the wonderful work that's being done here in the UAE globally, and let's game on. because the compassion is happening every day. And I think it's just so important that we disseminate that information, as opposed to focusing so much on the 7% of Islamic or extremists that truly don't represent Islam.
Exactly. And I am envisioning a time when each country signs up for these compassion games, and the U.S. and Great Britain and Brazil and all the countries, rather than just engaging in the sports, are engaging in how much they can do to transform the world, which would be the culmination of that dream, I think. And Rick, can you come back in and let us know about all of the different things that might be taking place and remind us about the summit?
Sure. And it's great hearing all of the folks on the line now, all these wonderful activities going on. And with 11 Days of Global Unity, that's the purpose of it. It's kind of like a convergence of all these change makers from around the world who are creating more peace, sustainability, and transformation. And in particular, regarding women and the work that many of the people on the program today are doing with regard to women, I wanted to mention there's a very special event that's also taking place in New York City. It's going to be on September 16th. It's called Sustainable Peace, Sustainable Development, and it's going to feature three heroic women, all Nobel Peace Prize winners. The woman who is a Peace Prize winner from Liberia, a woman from Iran, and a woman from Yemen. And that's being hosted by someone named Jonathan Granoff with the Global Security Institute. And if people are interested in getting more information about that, I'm going to give a phone number, 646-289-5170. That's 646-289-5170. Registration is necessary. And, of course, this event and all of the 11 Days events in New York City and around the world are featured on we.net, which has a link to the Global Unity calendar. I want to encourage people to post their activities on the Global Unity calendar as well. You can go to we.net, and the link to the Global Unity calendar is right there. So if people are participating in the Compassion Games, they can post their activities right on the calendar and let people know that this is coming up. I'm going to be doing this at this time. So, and everybody on the call today, you can do that as well. And people can also sign up their organizations to participate in 11 Days of Global Unity, 11 Ways to Change the World. Whatever they're doing can be in aligned with one of the themes. So today we're quite a bit talking about the theme of women, but there's also economic justice and human rights and peace and unity and interdependence and environment. All of these are part of what we're offering with the 11 Days of Global Unity. A few other interesting events that are coming up. On September 16th, earlier in the day, in the New York area, at the United Nations, is the UN celebration of the International Day of Peace. They're doing it the Friday before the actual International Day of Peace, which is on September 21st. But on September 16th, there'll be over 400 high school students and other young people from the New York region who will be interacting with the UN messengers of peace. That's Jane Goodall and Michael Douglas and others. And it's always connected to students and young people who live in conflict areas around the world. So there will be a live video link. So that's a very powerful event. Good News Planet and the Good News Broadcast with Paul Slatkis, they're going to do a human peace sign in Times Square also on September 16th at noon. And on September 18th, Sunday, there's going to be an event at Central Park at the Bandshell, which Susanna Basterica will be organizing. It's an all-day festival called the Vigil for Peace and Ecology. And that's the Bandshell. You can get there on 72nd Street. West 72nd Street leads there. And there are many other media partners, and in particular, just to mention again, the Telesummit, the 11 Days Telesummit, with all these wonderful featured speakers, including Jumana, will be on that, and the ones that I mentioned before, like Jane Goodall and Tavis Smiley. And that's a free event, so you can go to we.net and sign up and register for this Telesummit. Just right on the homepage, you'll see the links there. And we're so excited that so many people are participating. And thank you, yeah, Catherine, for helping to get the word out about all of these things.
You're welcome. I'm really happy to, and I feel a strong commitment, you know, appreciation for the work that you're doing. I wish that I could do a little bit more than I have done, but I'm happy to be able to contribute something to this overall transformation, because I really view it as the model for what so many organizations and people, humans, everyday folk, if we begin to follow this model, then we can begin seeing change occur very quickly. At least that's my sense of it. And the unfortunate part of all of this is because this work is going on, but it's not really shown. People turn on their TVs and their radios, and the mainstream media is completely blinded to this path. And my real hope is that more of that media will open up and people will begin to engage. And perhaps that's one of the things that our listeners can do, is if they do listen to some of those other stations that don't give them a deep insight into what's going on in the world, that they communicate their dislike of that fact and maybe begin to let the world know that wonderful things are really happening. So I'm grateful to be a part of delivering that message here over the Progressive Radio Network. I would ask, Rick, that for people who want to engage, can people volunteer to your organization? Perhaps there are people who have the resources to make donations, because I know you are a nonprofit, and this you know, it takes work to do this. So maybe people can help you in that way.
Oh, yes, that's great. And they can sign up to be volunteers or organization partners by just going to we.net. It's right near the top of the page at the home page. And I also wanted to say that we are creating our own media, you know, the Movement for Peace, Sustainability, and Transformation. So hopefully we will penetrate the mainstream media by the tremendous activities that we're all doing, the people on this program today, and all of us. The hashtag Peace Day has gone out to over 500 million times for Twitter in the past few years. So that's really getting out there. And we have the hashtag 11 days now. And, of course, the hashtag Compassion Unites for the Compassion Games. So we're getting out there, and I guess if we work together, that's what we is all about, right? Coming together to create a world that works for all.
Absolutely, and I love that there are so many coming together under the organization, under the inspiration that you have created. Have you seen yourself witness a blossoming of this since you started with this campaign?
Oh, yes. Totally.
Okay. I really want to not sure we can do anything about that. Well, I guess you'll have to... Oh, there we go. Excellent. So we're just about out of time anyway. So you could just say if you've noticed the blossoming, as I have seen, in your organization.
People we're working with in Botswana and Uganda and France and many cities in the United States, in Kentucky and Vermont, so many people. So, and you're a part of it. All the work that you're doing, Catherine, with the various media outlets and PRN, you're helping to make it happen as well. Thank you.
Thank you.